And now we arrive at the gospel, which is from chapter 13 in John, verses 31 to 35, which is a short gospel. And as I think you could recall, this is a striking, because what has just happened, I'll read you the context so you see. Starts, you know, here. Jesus says somebody's going to, I'm at the Last Supper now, because that's where this discourse is. You see? Somebody's going to betray me. Oh no. Oh no, Lord. Nobody's going to betray you. Yes, they are. And John leans back. Who is it? It's the one to whom I give this morsel when I dip it. And the text says then, you see, he handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After he took the morsel, Satan entered him. So Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. And so forth. Now, our text picks up in verse 31 of that chapter. When he had left, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. See? What does glorify there mean? The Son of Man is glorified. The most glorious thing he's going to do is go through his passion and death. And then be raised and be radiant forever. That tiny little hint they got of this at the Transfiguration. Now it's eternal. His body, his physical body, is eternal, glorious, radiant. And so the Son of Man is glorified. And if God is glorified, and God is glorified in him. Wow. When we see Jesus, and we will see all the love, the power, the graciousness, the delight that the Father has poured into the humanity of his divine eternal Son, glorified forever. Everybody in heaven is just going to be so delighted to be with Jesus and to see him, to know him, and to see this, Father, was your plan for the human race, that we would be glorified, radiant, full of light, forever. Forever. You see, this is what's kept Therese going, right? She read about heaven, and she dreamed about heaven. And she wanted everybody there. And so, when she was thinking one day about the various gifts, the various things that the Lord does with us and for us in this world, so that we are building the kingdom and we're building ourselves in the kingdom. And she said, well, what's my job in the kingdom? Where do I fit in the body of Christ? What am I? And the Lord showed her, you're the heart. You're the love. Imagine what a thrill. Oh, for all eternity, you see? And so all that stuff about all the teaching about love in 1 Cor 13, it's all here forever. And I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth. I won't rest. I'm going to come around and do good on earth and bring people to know the Father. You see? So the Son of Man is glorified. The first step in that glorification is what? Arrest, humiliation, beating, torture, crucifixion, and death. That's the beginning of the glory. Because through that all shines this indomitable, radiant, love. 3 days later, that indomitable, unchangeable love takes over that whole humanity, and forever, Jesus Christ is radiant with divine light in his body, even though he still carries the signs of his passage on earth, the holes in his hands and feet and side. He never let them go, huh? As it says there in that vision, I saw the Lamb standing there as a lamb that had been slain. Even in heaven, these wounds are glorious because they're the work of love. And that's what we're being told on this Sunday in Easter time. Look where you're going. See what the Lord has in store for you, you see? Now, if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once. Starting with that passion, the radiant manifestation of that incredible love that Jesus has in his human heart for the Father and for us. And it permeates, huh? The disgrace, the beaten body, the crucified body, the body that trembles with pain on the cross. You see, but under it all, love. Love. And see, God will glorify him at once. And so now, how do we get in on this glory? Well, Jesus tells us, my children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. That's the way to glory. In this life and in the next. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's it. That's the whole ticket right there. St. Augustine says, in heaven, there's just unus Christus, amans seipsum. In heaven, there's one Christ loving himself. That is, everybody, the one Christ. You, me, we're all one Christ. We're all in Christ. We make one Christ. And we're loving each other. So it's unus Christus, amans seipsum. Forever. You see how the church wants us on this Sunday, as we approach now Pentecost and all the rest, to never forget that all of this was done so that we could be with God forever. That's what it's all about. And with our bodies, radiant and glorious, forever. And we eat of this mysterious manna, which is Jesus. And so, this text is telling us, you see. Now, how do we get so glorious? Love one another. That's how. That means forgive. In this world, love means forgiveness. Not everybody. Some people have never offended us. But it's always part of it, you see? And so you have to have love for each other. Real love. Real care. Real gentleness. Real respect. And care to build one another up. And it's so beautiful. And that, my friends, is what gains more people for the kingdom than anything else. Walk into a group of real Christians who are simple, ordinary folk, but who love each other. And you see God, right? As we see, we have in that lovely psalm, a lovely song, Ubi Caritas et Amor, Deus Ibi Est. Where there is caritas, love, and love, there's God. Because, ho Theos agapi esti, God is agape. That's his whole being. That's the Trinity. Infinite, eternal movement of love between three persons. Open itself up so that we can be part of that rhythm, of that life, of that movement. You see? Okay. Let's practice here on earth. For sometimes it's hard. We have to forgive people who have offended us. We have to care for people. We have to love and care for those who are difficult. Yeah, this is not heaven. Love here costs. How much? Look at the cross. Love costs. I was trying to, where was that? Oh, I remember somebody talking about this, you know. Love costs. It's expensive. But it's glorious. Therese gave her whole life as a victim of the merciful love of God. Consume me, Lord. Let every, your love just take over my whole body, my whole soul, my whole frame, so that through me it can get out to the world. That's what I want. And I'm going to spend my heaven doing good on earth. I care. See, that's real humanism. Okay, I'm in heaven. Whew, I made it. I wish the rest of you guys all the luck in the world. That's not what she does, is it? No. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want to make sure that you come to heaven. That's Jesus. But that's the spirit of Jesus in Therese and so many other saints. They care about us. And that's why we can care for each other and care about each other. And if we do it, it's a heavenly life. Already, it's a heavenly life. In a family, wherever. But because we're so weak and so sinful and so dumb, that kind of love costs. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And that kind of love builds us. That's how everybody will know you're my disciples. If you have love for each other, everybody, those are Christians. I mean, look at them. See what they're doing? Look at the way they care and for and respect each other. That's the message for this fifth Sunday in Easter. Amen.